But the good news is we can turn our attention to tennis because there's been some big results for the Aussies overnight. As I mentioned, Nick Kyrgios, albeit controversially, is through to the second round. He won in five sets. Alex Demonor, who is our highest ranked player, he won easily through in three sets. Who else we had? Jordan Thompson, he won in straight sets over Roberto Buena Carbeas. Jason Kubler had a big result over Dave Evans. Alex Popperin, unfortunately, lost. He was favourite in that match to Hugo Gaston. And Australia's highest-ranked female, Aya Tomljanovic, she was the only female winner through after losses to Zoe Hives, Darius Saville, Jamie Fawless and Astra Sharma, who all lost. Tadasi Kokkinakis tonight. And some big news around, too, with Italy's Matteo Berrettini and also Marin Cilic withdrawing through COVID. And even Serena Williams was knocked out this morning. So there's plenty happening and we're only on day two of Wimbledon and barely past the first round. So let's talk tennis now and welcome in this morning, Roger Rashid. Good morning, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are we this morning?
Very well. There's a lot to get through there, as I've just touched on. But obviously a great starting point will be Nick Kyrgios, and he had a tough match when you look at the scoreline, but obviously, unfortunately, we're reading headlines again with Nick Kyrgios with some of his behaviour on court. What did you make of his performance and unfortunately, some of that bad behaviour that we've been accustomed to with Nick?
Day two was a tough day on the court for everybody. It was windy, it was cooler, and on grass, it's really tricky when you're playing in the wind compared to the other surfaces because of the just the nuances of a grass court and the ball, what it does off there. And I think Nick found that very hard early to find some rhythm. There's no doubt about that on court. He struggled with some rhythm, but I think the headlines, are they warranted? Probably not, to be honest. I watched I sat through the whole match, watched it. He had a little bit of banter from time to time, but nothing that was, nothing that warranted headlines in a negative way for Nick. I don't think there were. He talked about some slurring that was happening from the crowd towards him. It comes with the territory. On a tennis court, he wants entertainment on the tennis court, so there is a bit of entertainment that comes to the court where Nick plays. There's no doubt about that. He brings a lot of it, and he brings the crowd into the matches. And he was in a real fight out there with Paul Judd, who was he plays so calmly for a young lad who's got a wild card who's ranked outside the top 200, played without that number attached to his name and found himself in a really, really tight position there, and it was all credit to him to actually get over the top eventually and get through there. But yeah, there's a little bit of theatre. He spoke in the press conference about some racial slurs, said it wasn't there, but there was some today, but it has been part of his part of his environment. A couple of weeks ago in Stuttgart, there was some, and I think he's just sort of trying to, he's trying to, I guess, express that his distaste for that sort of stuff on a tennis court. And it was interesting. The press conference was quite interesting because there were some pretty direct questions asked from some of the journalists. I guess they were probably suggesting, hey, Nick, but don't you do similar things to people in the crowd or the umpires or, in the past? And I think they were trying to fish for a bit.
And, Rog, Tanasi Kokkinakis, he's through to the second round where he'll face Novak Djokovic. They have played each other before, but back in 2015. And I just love how Tanasi has just said he's excited for the opportunity and more so just happy to be back on the court and playing some good tennis.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things, when you can, you're on centre court, he'll be on there at 1:30, so he knows when the start is. So, the energy around getting ready for that match. You don't just sit in the locker room and wait for another match to be completed. And the fact that he's fit and healthy, got through his first round match unscathed, and he gets to, he gets to throw it all out there against Novak, in a second round match. So the court's not as its purest, because it's still a bit green, and when it's green, there's some, it's slippery with your footing. You just don't quite adjust as well as it is when it's probably day five or day six, where it's probably, I think, grass courts they've had a bit of wear and tear, and your footing's exceptional. So that gives Tanasi a really good opportunity if he can play some really good first strike tennis. But the joy of walking out on the centre court, And that experience, you don't get it very often at Wimbledon or any other major court unless you're the, one of the big players, you know, is something that you just need to take in. And you don't want to play with nerves out there. You want to play freely and let it all out, because that's, you know, that's really what that court provides you. It's a freedom of actually going up against the big seeds and playing with no fear, and hopefully Thanasi can do that.
Roger, I think I'm right in saying that Djokovic isn't eligible to go to the US Open because of the whole COVID vaccination issue. What sort of added pressure does that put on him for Wimbledon? Do you think he's in a good place to go and lift the title? I know there's others, of course, who will put up a fight, but where do you think he's at going into this one?
Yeah, look, I think he's a favourite, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, his ball striking in his first round was, you know, he dropped the second set. It's never going to be ideal in the early rounds. You don't, you know, you're not seeing, sometimes we see the best players in the world like Novak, Rafa, Roger in the past, where they've been so clinical in the early stages. As I said, grass with the green grass, as lush as it is, the footing, it takes you a little bit of time to just feel comfortable, and you don't want to overpress in certain areas. So you look at, there's a little bit of protection around the first rounds. And so he's in a really good space. Yes, he knows he's not playing in the US at this stage. He's pretty comfortable with that. He's been pretty strong about his views and how they sit. And so he's prepared to accept the consequences, I think, now that are attached with those. He's quite calm in his mind. So this championship in itself, like the French Open, it builds and builds for him. What I do like is that going into Roland Garros, he didn't have a lot of matches on his side. Going into now, he's got a volume of matches. He's probably, you know, it's a little bit of a different type of setup for Novak as far as his foundations underneath him going into this championship. So it's the toughest ask in tennis on a grass court at the moment is Novak. He hasn't lost since 2017 on these courts. So you know, it's a pretty big hill to climb over a mountain, climb over the Tanasi. But looking forward to that. And you're talking about the COVID. I know you guys mentioned Matteo Berrettini and Marin Cilic, and you know, they ruled themselves out. Berrettini has been ill for a couple of days. It's not required to test yourself on a daily basis for Wimbledon. It's up to you as an athlete. If you have some symptoms, you can decide to test or not. And just get on with it. These guys obviously decided to test. They weren't feeling good enough to play, and so they pulled out. And they're in the bottom half of the draw, which was Rafa's half of the draw. Rafa winning today in four sets, and it's a blessing for Rafa, because they're two players that are finalists at Wimbledon and can take Rafa out of the draw. So that it's given him a little bit of protection on his side of the draw.
Roger, what did you make of the other Australian results overnight? Alex De Minaur, obviously our highest-ranked Aussie, seemingly did it easy. And I thought the other result, which I'm surprised hasn't got a lot more attention, was Jason Kubler upsetting Daniel Evans, because that would have been a tough match against the local.
Yeah, no, good point, 100%. Alex was very good. He was clinical. He looked, he opened up really calmly, and that was a big match. He's on court two. Court one, so it's a big court, and to get out there and play really free, easy tennis, I thought he did an exceptional job, and then going on to win that in straight. So it's a couple of tight moments, but that's always a blessing to get out there in those conditions. And I think Alex handles the win quite well. As you said, Jordan Thompson got through again, comfortable win, one on one. You know, he's not a natural grass court player, but because the court plays a little slow, it can suit his game. But yeah, Jason Kubler's, it's a good story. He's 29 years of age. He definitely is a journeyman. He's a battler. He's in and out. He's trying to find his way, trying to solidify himself in a position where he doesn't have to go through qualifyings and so he can make main draws of every tournament he wishes to play. And to beat someone like Dan Evans, who's tactically very smart, he's crafty around the court. Dan Evans is local, so he's playing a local. And to go out there and play him and actually also use tactics that actually allows you to dismantle someone like Dan Evans was an absolute credit to Jason. So it's something that I haven't seen. I've seen him play tactically quite smart at times, but to do it on a big stage against a big opponent in Dan Evans, who's a 28th seed, who's got some good scouts on his attached to his name, that was a big tick. What you want from this point on is, though, is that Jason to win his next round. You don't want to take that. You enjoy that moment, but you must make the most out of these opportunities. So he does play Dennis Novak, Austrian, who's a qualifier. So there's a great opportunity for him to get through to the next round. And I'm really hoping and expecting that he pushes through and actually finds a way through to the third round.
Now, we saw, Rog, this morning, Serena Williams bow out. Can you give our listeners, are there any smokies for the titles, for the men's and women's, that you can give our listeners something to have a dabble on?
Yeah, I mean, look, Serena was unfortunate for Serena. You know, 40-year-old playing, first round, you expect, you know, what were we expecting? The people expecting her to get to the second week? It's hard to know because you've got to have some volume of work under your belt, you know, on your side of the court. Serena hadn't. It's been 12 months. It's not never easy watching a champion bow out, but she gives it her all. She loves it, passionate. Struggled in the first set, then the roof closed and lights came on, and then she actually played some really vintage Serena tennis and overpowered Tan, and then unfortunately, you know, lost in the tiebreaker, super tiebreak 10-7, and the super tiebreak at the end, which happens at 6-6 now at Wimbledon. So. Really tense moment, and for the young French woman to be able to go out there and beat Serena, regardless of whether Serena's had a volume of matches, you know, it's a big thing to do. There's nothing bigger in tennis than beating champions or in sport and beating global superstars that face you, that challenge you. So it's credit to her. Sad for the tournament for Serena. If you're looking at Smokies, look, I would have put someone like Marin Cilic, who had a good French Open in there, on the men's side. Maybe Jannik Sinner, who's an Italian, but he actually, you know, he sits there and he potentially has Novak in his draw in the quarterfinals. So Alcaraz, who won in five sets from Spain, you know, his first outing on grass as a big seed, number five seed. So, you know, they're on Novak's side of the draw there. It's a tough ask to get through and know that potential. And then on the women's side of it, you know, Coco Gauff, who was a finalist at the French Open, you might say she shouldn't be a smoky. Well, she is. She's 11th seed. She's young. She's a teenager. And so for me, I'll be interested to see if she can actually back it up. And she's in a tough section of the draw as well, but to back herself up and actually get through into deep into the championships. But, yeah, that's probably where I sit. You know, if I'm looking at the Smokies, Jabeur in the women's side as well, on Jabeur from Tunisia, who's number 3 seed, but would you say she's a Smoky? They're putting her up as a favourite, one of the favourites, but, you know, you haven't been there before. So I think if you haven't been there before and you haven't won a major, you're a Smoky.
Well, Jabeur is 650 currently with Tab. That's not too bad. Swiatek's the favourite at 220. You've got Simona Halep $11, Petra Kvitova $13, and Coco Gauff is $15. So not bad value there. Rog, will take that.
Yeah, I think Jabeur, Sakari, they're both women that play really well on the grass courts. They have nice grass court games. So again, I think if you haven't won one of the, you know, you haven't won a major, you sit there as a smoky because there's a lot to navigate. Over a 2-week period, you know, first you've got to trust yourself. Do you believe you can win one? Then you get to those moments deep where the locker room's empty and there's only you and a few other competitors and it's quiet and you've got your own noise going on in your head. How do you navigate through that type of thing? So the dynamics over the 2 weeks of a major change dramatically. We're seeing completely full Wimbledon grounds, all the courts used, big crowds. It's like the olden days. It's beautiful to see. But then as we get into the second week and the juniors start as well, but the courts get, you know, they get cleaned up, they're put aside some of the courts and they shut shop and then there's only a few of the big courts, limited numbers of obviously people in the crowd and then things, you know, it gets real for players that haven't been there and that's why it's really hard to knock off the champions at these majors because they have a level of comfort going into that to the back end of the tournament.
And interestingly, on the men's side, as far as betting is concerned with Tab, Novak Djokovic is the $1.55 favourite, Nadal $6, Alcaraz $12, Tsitsipas $15. What's interesting, Rog, you've got Andy Murray $29, by the way, but Nick Kyrgios is shorter than Alex Demonor. Demonor is $51 and Nick Kyrgios $19.
Yeah, and I think every match Nick wins, he comes in a bit because... He's got Nick's got firepower. You know, to win one of these things, you've got to have weapons that you can't go through and be a player that doesn't have big weapons where you can actually try and you can hit your way through a moment in a match and through periods in matches to save you and get yourself out of jail. Whereas Nick actually has all of that. Yes, it wasn't all on show yesterday. I think it was a great hurdle for him to clear, but. You know, when you got his serve, you got some free points. So there's so many free points that are attached to Nick's game that he's already got in his pocket. And so that's why his odds will, they'll keep coming in and coming in. But we're looking forward to seeing where he goes, because if he does win this next match against Krancevic, who's 26 in the world, so there's, you know, from Serbia, plays a real steady game, nice game, but Nick's going to have a lot of opportunities in that tennis match. He then potentially plays the winner of Jordan Thompson or Stefanos Tsitsipas, who's a fourth seed. And there's a bit of history there between Nick and Tsitsipas. So, but we would like to see a Kyrgios Thompson third round. So, so some really interesting, exciting couple of days ahead on the men's side of things. And as you said, on the women's for Australia, Tom Lanovich, who was a quarterfinalist last year, looked very, very comfortable in her first round match. So controlled on the tennis court. Defeating the 18th seed in Teichmann. So that's a real big tick for her, because when you're a quarterfinalist last year and you come back out, there's no points to defend, obviously, but you're still defending your position a little bit. And so you want a repeat performance, and she came up against the 18th seed to do that. That was a really big tick. Really enjoyed watching her play last night.
And Rog, just quickly, I know you got to run, but John Millman, after he lost in four sets in the opening round, he's now said that his career is coming to an end. I guess he is 33, and he just said his body can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, it was a great career. I mean, when you look at it, you'd sign up for that career. Yes, he'd probably take away a few of the injuries that he had to suffer, but with that, it's built his determination to do all the hard work and the little things that actually matter for his game. And you know, he put everything out there. He's had a win over Roger Federer at the U.S. Open. He's had a really good career, a sound career that's given him a livelihood, but more importantly, just some great memories. And so, yeah, I think John Millman squeezed everything out of his tennis career on the practice court and on the match court. He's been very disciplined about the way he's gone about things, and I think he's a realist as well, knowing that that this is my position, and because the rankings got frozen for 12 months. There was an opportunity for him to stay in that top group where he gets into the main draws. But now I think, you know, he's finding things a little tough.
Roger Rashid, we'll chat throughout the tournament, but thanks for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Thanks, guys. Have a fantastic day.